Thanks for listening to the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weeknight, 10 p.m. to 2 a.m. Eastern, 7 to 11 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every night on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Hi.
And, boy, did we get something in the last hour. I'm always amazed, and my favorite news stories are ones that just kind of take you by surprise and evolve at an exponential rate where it's hard to keep up from 1 minute to the next. And that's what last hour was when it comes to Major League Baseball and what went on with the lockout. Now, Alex Teicher, do we have our official lockout little clip ready to play? The MLB lockout will begin.
In 5 seconds, prepare yourself. Prepare yourself.
You are now meeting the Grand Master.
Nicely done.
Listen to that scream. Listen to the scream.
It's so good. And that's really baseball fans everywhere right now at the handling of this, the 7-minute meeting, and then obviously the handling of all digital formats and platforms by which to disseminate information and entertainment.
Now, to recap what's going on before we get into what a clown show this has been, and again, this is Rob Manfred's MLB. Right, that's what this is. This is Rob Manfred's Major League Baseball because he is now taking ownership of the fact that he just can't stand the players. I really can't stand the players. The MLB lockout was scheduled to begin at midnight, 9 p.m. on the West Coast, and it happened. We thought this was coming because the sides had met for 7 minutes earlier in the day, and they couldn't come to an agreement. Surprise, surprise. So now there's going to be a lockout. First work stoppage since 1994-1995. First lockout since 1990. It's a very big time now in Major League Baseball. Right at the stroke of midnight, MLB.com, which is one of the most popular sports websites, you've been to MLB.com, I'm sure, sometime in the last few days, all the news stories involving current players, Max Scherzer meeting the media as a member of the Mets for the first time, talking about how he wanted to go there because he wanted to win a World Series and how much he loves Steve Cohen and how great the Mets franchise is and all the great things about the Mets, how much he enjoys being a Met, the challenge of New York, how much he loves New York, and winning in New York is a big thing. I'm sorry. So stories like that. Scherzer, whether it was Marcus Stroman, who announced he was going to the Cubs earlier tonight, Chris Taylor returning to the Dodgers on a 4-year deal, all the stories that you would normally see. Every story involving a current player has been excised from the website to where now the only stories on there are involving the lockout and evergreen stories about retired players or stories you can use involving retired players. Let's look back at this great moment from the 1988 World Series, the 1986 World Series. This is the entire website. Here are the best 25 baseball movies of all time. Here's a story about Robin Yount's brother. These are the stories that are on there. Plus, there's a couple about the lockout and Rob Manfred, who put out a letter to MLB fans. And he put out a letter talking about how we're in a lockout right now and it's a difficult time. And he goes on to just pound the players in this situation. This is why I'm so disappointed about the situation our game finds itself today. Despite the league's best efforts to make a deal with the Players Association, we were unable to extend our 26-year-long history of labor peace. All right, the league's best efforts, not the players, right? Already I'm telling you, it's the players' fault. Then he says, goes on to talk about explaining how we got here. This defensive lockout was necessary because of the players' vision for Major League Baseball would threaten the ability of most teams to be competitive. It's not a viable option. Again, anything the players want, no. It's stupid. What they see, baseball can't exist on it. Really? The players are putting together and they put together some kind of proposal that baseball couldn't exist on. Really? Like they had a bunch of high school kids. Hey, put together a plan about why why this could work for Major League Baseball. Well, I don't know anything about finances. Ah, just put it together. It's fine. You really think the Players Association is going to come to the owners with a proposal that doesn't at least see the owners making some kind of money? Really? But here's Rob Manfred saying defensive lockout necessary because the Players Association vision would not allow them to be competitive. It's not a viable option. The Players Association had a contract that they wouldn't trade for any other in sports. Now they want a new one. We worked hard to find compromise while making the system even better for players. We offered to establish a minimum payroll. All of these things. It was bang, bang, bang here. All the stuff we tried to do and the players are doing nothing. Right? Now, I get this is a negotiation. I understand this, and here's the first salvo that's being fired by Rob Manfred. I think it's a little bit more to say, okay, right now I want you to know everything going on. It's a little bit, okay, we hate you, you hate I. Here's my bit. Here's all this bad stuff that you don't know about that we can't sign a new deal because you don't know. This is really over the top. It's so over the top, and the fact that all the current players have been excised from the website, stories about them, their pictures are gone. You can still buy gear, though, so that's good. Ooh, at least you can still buy gear and put money in the
But can I buy one with that? Current player's name on it. Like if I wanted to buy you, say, a Mets Scherzer jersey for Christmas, could I not do that right now unless I go to some bootleg outfit that's going to put some phony lettering on there?
What if you told him, hey, it's from my friend, his name is Jason Scherzer, and he wants to get a Scherzer. Oh, well, what are they going to say? No?
What number does he wear? Well,
either 31 or 37, but those numbers are unavailable for the Mets. So let me wait and see about that. I mean, this is the first step that Rob Manfred wanted to take in the lockout. I'm going to put out a statement blaming the players, and now I'm going to take them all away from the website. Okay. Just step back for a second and take a deep breath. It's a lot to take in. In any business, you know going forward, you need both sides to be able to work together. Now, maybe you're not always happy with a negotiation, but you need to be able to work together. You need to be able to come into work and know, all right, maybe we disagree on things or I don't like you, but in the end, hey, I'm getting paid. Good things are happening for me. Good things are happening for you. We're going forward. This is why labor peace is so important. But it's always about working together, right? You may hate seeing the guy across the table from you. Roger Goodell may hate seeing DeMaurice Smith. Oh, well, he actually may like it.
No, he kind of likes that.
He wins all the negotiations with DeMaurice Smith. But it needs to be something where at least we're in it together. I have never seen Roger Goodell put out a statement about when the NFL is negotiating for whatever it is, where he talks about the players with so much disdain as Rob Manfred does. In no sport do I see the commissioner talking. Adam Silver, if he tried that with the players, oh my God, they would overthrow him and he'd be out. They would just pull him out and guys would be sitting around in Adam Silver's office in New York going, hey, I'm the commissioner now. This is great. No other sport would you see that. You would not, even as bad as tooth and nail and it gets, and the players can't stand Roger Goodell. They can't stand the guy. And I understand it. But I've never seen Goodell put out a statement where he treats the players with such distaste. And the disdain and the necessary evils that they are. And maybe that's how Roger Goodell does view players in the NFL, but he doesn't come out and say it. Or he doesn't come out and imply it. And Rob Manfred clearly implies that, and he says it. Right. I keep going back to his statement from the World Series a year ago. I can't wait to give the World Series trophy to a deserving owner. Right? You know he can't.
The hunk of metal.
Everything he does is anti-player. And you can be pro-owner without being anti-player. That's the whole thing. Yes, he works for the owners, and I get that. But you can be pro-owner without being anti-player. But no, it's like Manfred revels into being anti-player. And yeah, I want to win the negotiation, but I just don't want to win it. I want to win it and give you nothing. You know, and that's, I'm sorry, but Rob Manfred is not the commissioner of the owners in Major League Baseball. He's the commissioner of Major League Baseball. And that's something that's lost on him this entire time. And that's the first thing I would tell him is that, dude, you came right out of the gate. This is December 1st. Okay, it's December 1st, and it's a big story, and people are going to be looking for people to blame, and you decided to come right out of the gate and say the players don't know what they're talking about. The players are X, Y, and Z. The players, the players, the players. And now tomorrow, wait till you see the tweets coming from all the different players in Major League Baseball, what they're all going to say about Rob Manfred. And it's going to be extremely combative right from the get-go, and it's December 1st. Right, there's at least you could put out a statement saying, "Hey, I'm sorry. We're going to bring you the game of baseball that you love. There are situations right now that we're trying to figure out. There'll be more details on the way, and then you figure out how you want to leak things. And you know, I want to make sure people know that the players are asking for this, and we can't give them that. It's not a great ask. There's so much time for it because, like I said, it's December 1st. But here comes Manfred right away. This is why we can't do it, and we've tried, and they have." Haven't tried. Why are you making this so adversarial? Why are you doing this right away? This is the mark of a guy that clearly would love to just be able to say, here's baseball. The worst part about baseball is we have to play the games. I'd like to not play the games. I'd like to be able to have owners have teams and be able to sell merchandise and trot out some old players who can tip their cap and have fans come to the ballpark and spend $100 a ticket just to clap for 5 minutes and go home. That's what I'd like to do. The worst part for me are the games. The worst part are the games and the playoffs and the season. I want everything else, but I don't like the games. That's what Rob Manfred is doing here with Major League Baseball. That's why this is Rob Manfred's MLB.
Well, when we go through, and I'm going to have to go back through to Bettman and Silver and everybody else. Okay, maybe not so much the NBA. But looking at hockey and looking at the NFL and going back to look at the terminology used, the tone, the temperament. Because, again, this is the first day, as we've talked about throughout the show, as the countdown was on, that nothing needed to be solved today. Would it be nice if you were able to just say, hey, full-on peace, we never had to do a lockout or do a strike? That'd be great. But here we are. And if you're going to go through this tact, then let's go through the specificity, right? Listing a bunch of things in the letter as he does, that's not giving any clarity to people that haven't followed this actively, right, in terms of, all right, what does he mean by this? What does he mean by this other thing? The competitive balance tax threshold. Please explain that to me. Go through. Regrettably, it appears the Players Association came to the bargaining table with a strategy of confrontation over compromise. They never wavered from collectively the most extreme set of proposals in their history, including the significant cuts to the revenue sharing program, weakening of the competitive balance tax, which he capitalizes in the paragraph before, but then when cutting down the players and their thoughts on it, it goes to lowercase. Don't think I don't notice these things. Bunch of lazy folks running these businesses. And shortening the period of time that players play for their team. Well, that's a big deal. Right, we talk about service time and service time manipulation. That is something that is a very big deal to the Players Association. All of these changes would make our game less competitive, not more. Okay, that's the commissioner's big long salvo. The Players Association, of course, issued their statement. Shutdown's a dramatic measure regardless of the timing. It's not required by law or for any other reason. It's the owner's choice, specifically calculated to pressure players into relinquishing rights and benefits, abandoning good faith bargaining proposals that will benefit not just players, but the game and industry as a whole. And very much their statement is about the game and the one that best version of the game that we love for all. But the second paragraph here is key. Tactics are not new. We've been here before and players have risen to the occasion time and again, guided by a solidarity that has been forged over generations. We will do so again here. Again, Baseball Players Association has long been the most powerful and resolute of all of the player associations. Now, we've seen it with the NBA, with more stars getting involved. Maybe Tom Brady's activism, at least from outside looking in as he's finishing his career this year or in the next 10, maybe, that you have players get more involved in the fight, and it's not just whoever is at the head, like Demoris Smith is now, and will step down. But what we have is now the battle lines are drawn, and you're coming from two different places. And the players, whether it's, some will criticize it saying, oh, they're just doing it to curry the favor of the public. It's a more soft, even-handed approach just saying, look, we need to compromise. There's a lot of money and a history at stake that we need to make sure that we take care of the game. Whereas on the, you know, Rob Manfred letter, it's very much a, you have the privilege of being part of this. And that we always have to remember that, right? It is a privilege to do what you're doing, playing the game, managing the game, being around the game. For us on the microphones here at Fox Sports Radio, there's some privilege and responsibility to it as you go. But trying to take the, hey, you should be thankful to be here tact, no matter what your business is a bad way to approach things.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets Swollen Dome, the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon. I mean, you put a lie up to a lie detector. What's the worst part about baseball? All the games. That we have to have games. I really want to have a sport and not have the game. Not have to worry about paying players, anything else. Just what the games are the worst part. The games are the worst part for me.
Hey, the devil's in the details, Smith. You know that.
Tonight's show brought to you by one of our favorite cities, Las Vegas, the greatest arena on earth. Plan your trip today at visitlasvegas.com. That's visitlasvegas.com. We'll have more on this developing story and also something I've been waiting 24 hours to hear on this show. It's next, Fox.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend Mike Harmon.
Meow.
Celebrating all the holidays here on Fox Sports Radio. So did I tell you this, Harmon? So the other night, you know, I told you, you know, last night, because we'll get to last night in a second. We drove by an area in our neighborhood, and you know, you get by different areas in different cities. They have the areas that they all gear up for Christmas, and they put the lights up between houses, and everybody decorates. You go through neighborhoods; it's kind of fun.
Yeah, drive-throughs, little hot chocolate stands, and tchotchkes or whatever. Sure, absolutely,
exactly. Well, there's one area in my neighborhood that decided they were going to do it for Hanukkah for the first 8 days and then segue over to Christmas. So we drove by last night coming home, and not only are all these lawns decked out with, you know, with Hanukkah, there's menorahs and dreidels, and it says turn to 97.3. So I turned to 97.3, and it's all Hanukkah songs. But it's funny Hanukkah. It's the Hanukkah song by Adam Sandler. It's Jack Black's Hanukkah song. Daveed Diggs did a song called I Want a Puppy for Hanukkah. And we're sitting there going, oh, my God, these songs are outstanding. And we sat in front of the houses for like 20 minutes while the lights are just blaring down on the car. I'm like, this is awesome. I could just come and sit here and just have a coffee and, you know, look at my phone and read one day instead of going to a coffee shop. It would be great.
Oh, that's awesome. Mm. Yeah, that's a nice bonus. I don't know that I've ever had that added on. Normally, it's a people have some stereo system set up and someone's got their lights set to Billy Squire or something. But it all comes together. I like that. I kind of dig that. That and a big dinner out and celebrating a huge Syracuse win. Were you honking your horn every couple of minutes as that score scrolled across your phone or what?
No, because I want to get into this now with you because we finished watching the game. Because I missed last night's show. My dad's birthday went out. We played golf yesterday. We took him out for dinner last night.
So and we you were out, kind of belatedly going out for your birthday as well,
yes,
to a was, degree.
Yes, it was kind of a thing, right? Like because my and also Pam's dad was in town and his birthday was coming up in a couple of days. So it was this whole big catch-all. Hey, we're all going to go out for our birthdays. Great.
Sure.
So that's why I had the night off. So Syracuse wins. We go out to eat a little bit later than normal because, you know, the game went to double overtime. Like,
sure.
We're not leaving yet, but we got our reservations. Blank the reservations. I'm not leaving until this game is over. And so with Syracuse wins, we go out. My dad and I were talking about the game. We get down to dinner, and then Frostburg texts me, and he says, boy, did you pick the worst night to be off. I'm like, oh, I know. What an incredible game. It was unbelievable. Oh, my God. He goes, no, Buddy Buckets is coming on the show right now. And I'm like, what? And he goes, call the hotline. I said, can I get in? Let me call in and just say hi. It'd be really fun. Bit. He goes, yeah, call right now. I'm like, all right, great. And I know I don't have a lot of time because interviews with players, you only get them for a few minutes after a game, right? We get guys after the national championship game all the time or after a big game. You get them for like 3 minutes or so. It's not like, hey, you're coming on for a lifestyle interview and we're talking for 10 or 12 minutes and you get into a bunch of stuff. It's you're reacting to a big game and you get, you know, like 3 or 4 minutes with the guy. So I know I don't have a lot of times. Frostberg says, call the control. I'm like, all right, great. And I call the control room to talk to Ryan Bershinger, who's, you know, who produces here, you know, him and Frostberg do it together. And the line's busy. I'm like, how am I getting a busy signal? This is 2021. How am I getting a busy signal when I'm calling in to the control? And it's the old busy signal, like from the 80s. It goes, I'm like, what is happening right now? So I call for like 2 minutes, and I'm going, this is not happening. The sand is running through the hourglass with this. I'm going, Buddy Boeheim's hanging up. I'm not getting through. So I say, screw it, and I call the bat phone. I said bat phone. Why did I do that?
Because you have to.
Da na 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 Batman.
So I call the bat phone, which is the one that you have to pick up because that could be anything. That could be the station is on fire. So Teichert picks up the phone and goes, hey, what is it? Fox Sports Radio. It's Alex. I go, Alex, it's Jason. Put me up with Buddy Boeheim. He goes, oh, I think they're just finishing up with him. Oh, hang on. We'll try to put you through. I'm like, what do you mean you're finished with him? What do you mean you're finished? And then, you know, I come on with you and Dan and we have some fun and talk about it. And I'm blaming both of you jerks for not keeping him on the air for another 30 seconds so I can come on and talk to him. All of this is happening. All this is going on. And I hang up and I go back in to sit down at dinner and my wife, my dad, and so I said, what happened? I tell them what happened and I look at my dad like, you know, your birthday here and I missed it. He didn't say anything. He goes, oh, too bad you missed that interview. And he just puts a whole big hunk of potatoes in his mouth and starts chewing them. And I'm going, that's all you got? That's like, I want to stab you in the hand with my fork right now. That's all you got for me? You're not sad? I mean, I only get a chance to interview a Boeheim every 3.5 years. We had Jim Boeheim about 3.5 years ago. We had a Buddy Boeheim last night. Probably another 3.5 years for Jimmy Boeheim. We can get Jamie Boeheim on. She won like 3 state titles in basketball. It's going to be, I'm going to be, you know, over 60 years old by the time we get through all the Boeheim family. I'm like, Julie Boeheim on the phone as well. I mean, every 3.5 years. And my dad just goes, oh, sorry you missed that. And just like I said, I'll never forget. Just takes that big, big of potatoes and just shoves the whole thing in his mouth and staring at me, just chewing. That was my night last night.
Yeah, it was a fun visit.
No,
good
I bet
kid.
It was. Sure. It was
very practiced. Sure. He was fantastic.
Yeah, it was great for you.
No, he
yeah.
had a great game, great finish after surrendering a big first half lead.
Yeah,
they forced 25 turnovers.
Yeah.
Right, win 112-110. I mean, we joked about the fact that, you know, at Syracuse, you're not used to playing games in the hundreds. He thought that was pretty funny.
Uh-huh.
We talked about the difference of playing in the Bahamas and then heading back to Syracuse, playing for dad and expectations. I asked a question that I probably should have been a little more pointed on as far as goals and all. If, you know, sitting around, there's, you know, a plus-minus system for offense and defense that helps in your holiday shopping. But I didn't get to that specificity. But all in all, he was really fun and had a good laugh and really missed you. Like, he really felt bad you weren't there.
Well, now, you've been telling me about this for the last day or so, and I don't know that it actually exists, kind of like Top Gun 2. You've been telling me about it, but I don't know that it exists. So he actually had a message for me. You had him say something for me while you were talking to him?
Yeah, exactly. It said, hey, buddy, tell him you'll see him in hell.
Wow. All right. Do we have
Okay, not quite to that level.
Teichert, do we have the audio on this?
What will you be doing at 44?
Being a dad and a husband and probably coaching Little League something. I don't know yet. That's a ways down the road.
Well, how far down the road?
Well, I'm going to be 40 in March, so it's like 4.5. That's a ways.
Okay.
What
pretty
the
good.
Hell is that?
I'll tell you,
you sound a lot like Dan Patrick. That's
now who's the mystery guy that he was interviewing there that's about to turn 40?
Yeah, I don't know. I'm a man. It was Mike Gundy. It was from 10 years ago before he turned 40. Now he's in his 50s. All right, so do we have – and don't play the butt fumble. do we have the audio of Buddy Boeheim from last night?
It sounds like with the way you're talking about getting back into football and the excitement of getting back out there and doing your thing and watching the games all weekend. In one of your quotes, you said on Friday, the right's going to champion me, the left's going to cancel me, but I don't give a about either of them. Politics is a sham. In a roundabout, I don't know if that was your exact quote, but it was a roundabout. That has happened, by the way, and I don't have the ability to read or meditate, so I have been in the streets of the Twitter mentions of you for a while because obviously I'm getting tagged in a lot of them. That has happened, and it sounds like you have zero desire to continue to be a poster boy for anything like this. Is that an accurate assessment on the entire situation?
I stopped after that.
Yeah, no, I would have too, Harmon. Boy, that was really
Harmon
aggressive.
Was a wordsmith.
I really took it
questioning.
Yeah, I mean, I took it to the next level right there.
I really was.
We went third rail too,
and I could get canceled. How do you feel about that after that 112-110 win in overtime? All right, let's. I can't wait to see what we got next. You got what's next? Go ahead, let's hear it.
We talking about practice, not a game. Not the game that I go out there and die for and play every game like it's my last. Not the game. We're talking about practice, man.
All right. Well, it's good to get a question in about practice because, you know, maybe they want to do things. You look like they ran a 1-3-1 zone last night for a little bit, and it was kind of shocking, but that's new. Okay, get that in. All right. What else we got, AT?
With Kike at the plate right now, you know, how would you describe what you're saying?
I have no idea. You know, Enrique right now is en fuego.
It circles back to Dan Patrick. En fuego.
He is en fuego. Okay. All right. Now, do we Kike Hernandez? Do we have Buddy Boeheim and Harmon from last night?
It would be this Saturday. I want to know before I bet this money, how confident are you in Saturday's fight?
Welcome to the best show on earth, the Ultimate Fighting Championship. We're honored to have you, sir. I'm extremely confident, if you can't tell. I'm coming in with full preparation, full commitment, and full confidence in my striking abilities and my shots.
But he's got an accent.
I didn't know he had that accent. He grew up his whole life in Syracuse, but that's an accent, I guess. Wow.
He then did a long 60-second read for Proper 12.
Suck these big artists.
Okay.
It didn't get quite that contentious.
Boy, that was the boy.
I'm done.
Now I'm really mad I missed it. All right, now do we have?
Yeah, I'm done.
Now, all right, you're done now. Okay, good. Now we have the audience.
Buddy, I got to ask a favor. My normal partner here, Jason Smith, just celebrated a birthday. Syracuse alum and lives and dies and lives and breathes with you guys. We'd be doing 4 hours of nothing but Syracuse talk tonight. So if you could wish him a happy birthday so we could play it and remind him of the fact that he took a really bad day off because he didn't get to talk to you.
I know, man. Happy birthday, Jason. Go Cuse. Hopefully we can get you up to a game this year. We'd love to get to talk to you, but hopefully we'll do this again sometime, and he'll be on the call, hopefully.
We appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for taking the time. Congrats on the win. 112-110, the final. 27, 8 assists, 3 boards. Played a full 50 minutes. Go get that ice bath there, buddy. Thanks for hanging
Definitely.
Out with us.
I will. Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Wow, what a nice kid. That was
awesome. See, there you go.
That was terrific. Look at that. Going to get me to a game. We're going to get to coach a little bit. I'll probably stay at his house. That's pretty cool. I mean, that's what I took from that. I mean, I don't know about you.
Stand in the coaching box with Jim Boeheim.
Hey, coach, I don't know about this strategy. Why don't we try to put a 3-guard offense out there for a few minutes? Because we're feeling it from deep. Coach, where are you going? Coach. All right, you know, that's fine. I'll just see you back at your house tonight when I'm staying there. Hey, does my room have cable? And is there internet? And is there a computer in there where I'm staying with you? All right, great. Thanks. Appreciate that, Jim.
Make sure to clear the searches.
Is there a White Castle close by? Because I really got to have White Castle. I don't think, you know what? Unless it's happened in the last few years, I don't think there's a White Castle in Syracuse.
Well, now here's your entrepreneurial spirit at work. You can get to work, man. Get that White Castle in there.
Twitter it out about a Fresca, Mike at Swollen Dome. That's not going to get to go to a game, and I'll get to sit on the sideline. I'll be a guest coach. Oh, you know what will happen? When a really bad foul call happens, I'll rip my jacket off like Boeheim did a few years ago.
Good.
Oh,
yeah,
that'll
yeah.
be great. Yeah, yeah, yeah. See, now
oh, yeah, all
gonna...
the Michael Jackson memes.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember that. That was great.
Buddy, that was nice of you. And I mean you, buddy, not Buddy Boeheim, but still Buddy Boeheim, too. But that was nice, buddy. Thanks for that. I appreciate
yeah,
it.
Absolutely.
Cool.
No, it by the end of it, it was like, ah, oh, he really missed a great conversation.
Yeah. Like he's doing.
And he did more than 3 minutes, too. He was on for a while.
Oh, great. So that makes me feel even worse that Bursch wouldn't pick up the phone.
No, Bursch. But you were slow of foot. Like, look, you know you had several more bites of your entree before you started to go to make sure you try to call in.
Oh, no, you can. I said, oh, no, I got to go. It was like I was a fireman. Oh, got to go. The phone, the bells just went off. Got to go.
Now,
I took off. That's how it was. Walked outside, got to make a phone call. Started working my magic. I was like Jerry Maguire at trying to get all his clients to stay as Bob Sugar is calling everybody trying to get him to go. Oh, I had that phone working and still just kept getting the busy signal because Ryan Bershinger wouldn't pick up the phone.
Well, we tried.
Very upsetting. But, hey.
He'll be back.
This ends great. Yeah, he'll be back. We go to the Final Four. He'll be back. We go to the Final Four. It'll be great. It'll be great.
We'll have another big win. Yeah, now we just need to have somebody stalk him with the phone post-game. That's the thing. That's the hard part of the equation. We're always going to be here, and the phone line will be open to him. Maybe not to you.
We just hire a guy to follow him around with a phone for the next 3 months. What are you doing? I'm just waiting for the moment. I'm waiting for the phone to ring.
Well, it's about the post-game experience, right? And having a stringer, as they call it. We used to have stringers at games all the time. So when I found out we had one at this particular game, I was like, wow, that's a throwback moment.
Mm.
And lo and behold, we got the star himself.
Oh, that was awesome stuff. Thanks, bud. We'll make a nice open for that and hear it. Oh, that'll be great.
I'll lose my name. I'll be Buddy Boeheim next.
That's right. That's right. The Jason Smith Show with my best buddy, Buddy Boeheim. That'll be you.
There it is.
All right.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Jason Smith Show with Mike Harmon weekdays at 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific.
Fox Sports Radio, the Jason Smith Show with my best friend, Mike Harmon.
Oh, yeah.
As we are now in the age of the MLB lockout. Less than 2 hours old already, Rob Manfred is basically blaming the players for why they haven't been able to reach a deal and why there's a lockout. The players have ideas that aren't feasible in Major League Baseball. The players' union has responded by saying it's the owner's choice to try to pressure the players. These tactics are not new. We will fight. It is December 2nd. And already it's adversarial in the beginning of the lockout. I mean, I get that it's going to get adversarial, and that's what happens as the pressure mounts. But this is December 2nd, all right? You're not talking about people starting to get really panicky about baseball until sometime in March. And even if the beginning of the season is delayed, people are not going to care, okay, because there's other things happening. But knowing that it's this hateful already, that's a big warning. That's a big warning that already Rob Manfred is saying the players don't know what they're talking about. The players are saying the owners want to play this game with us. Blank them. We can figure things out. So it's going to be a whole lot of nothing for a long time, right? And I really believe this in that. Look, the clown show that this is Rob Manfred's Major League Baseball because he's the guy that's responsible for this. The thing that scares me the most is that it used to always be the emergency break, the deterrent for labor peace in baseball was always, hey, we can't miss any games, right? Because, hey, you and I growing up, our 20s and 30s, every 2 or 3 years there was a, hey, this MLB lockout situation could get really bad and both sides hate each other. It becomes a big story that's covered every single day. And then in the end, hey, they find labor peace, right? So it's kind of a throwback where, yes, every 2 or 3 years we've had that. Now we're at the point where, but back then, the emergency break was always, we can't miss games. If we miss games, that's just that's like the worst thing ever, right? That's the one scenario neither side wanted. We can't miss games. It's embarrassing for the game. It's less money for the owners, less money for the players. We can't miss the games. But because of COVID in 2020, we missed a good portion of the season. We had a tiny bit of games. We had playoffs. And what happened? The owners still stayed the owners. Nobody had to sell, so they all did fine. The players are still the players. Nobody had to quit Major League Baseball. They're still playing. They're still doing okay. They're still signing big contracts. both sides have been able to get by without games and then continue their seasons. So where that was the emergency break of, all right, when it comes down to it, we can't miss the games, both sides now, that's not a deterrent anymore. The players can dig in and say, we'll let this thing go as long as we have to. Not, we'll let this thing go as long as we have to, but we got to sign with enough time to be able to get in shape for the season so nobody gets hurt, and we go and we start playing around April 1st. And the owners, same thing. They can say, hey, we'll let it go as long as we have to, but we can't start losing gate. I'm not going to lose 50,000 people coming to our season opener because that's not happening. No, the owners and the players have had it. Now, it's not their first choice. Obviously, they want to be able to play all the games because the players want to make all the money, and so do the owners. But the fact that they've lived through that and it's in recent history, yeah, they're going to say, hey, for what we want with this next negotiation, we can dig in. We don't need to worry about losing. We lose games, we lose games. We lost games this year. We lost so many games last year. That's not a deterrent anymore. That's the scary part, is that when it gets to it and this becomes a story that becomes an everyday story as we get closer to the beginning of the regular season, this thing could go way past April 1st because neither side is going to blink as far as that goes.
Yeah, it's just a question of what you can control versus externalities, right? Obviously, the COVID-19 situation and the decision to not play in front of live audiences and gate television only and even broadcast crews weren't moving and going in, right? Remote cameramen and the whole nine yards, and certainly broadcast teams, that, you know, you're not going to choose that again. So I think 11th hour, you're going to have different conversations than you would have in those situations, like trying to do everything you can to get back on the field. Because while you made it through, you still lost a giant pile of money, and nobody wants to do that again. Obviously, you've got the competitive balance issue is nebulous. You've got this recent report that they were using secretly two different baseballs during the season, so there's an investigation about that. You've got, you know, just the control, right, and service time arguments. Median salary has dropped about 30%, and this is where we get into as much as you can talk about the heavy hitters like Scherzer and others and the contracts they're signing. Syndergaard, right, two innings pitched and gets the deal he does. You've got a lot of other guys on the other end of that spectrum, so they're trying to figure out how to build that middle back again. So I did not say nickel back. I said middle back.
Middle back. Yeah. Yep.
So we'll see. It's, I think, a long protracted battle, but the confrontational nature that Major League Baseball came out with certainly isn't going to help their side of the news cycle going forward. We can say that.
Twitter at How About a Fresca. Mike gets swollen dome. Our best of podcast goes up in about 10 minutes on iTunes. You can use the iHeartRadio app. Wherever you listen to podcasts, it is there. Rate us, download, subscribe. We'll love you forever and ever and ever. For Mike, I'm Jason. My buddy Ben Maller coming up next. Remember, if there's no season this year, the Mets are the champions of the offseason, so they're the World Series champs.